call me. Wow. Then he labels them, files them, and waits for them to call again.
And then when they call again, he files lawsuits because he's already requested to be on the do not call list.
Can be profitable.
And the guy's turned it into his, that's his income.
Wow. So almost every time
that's
the company,
his job now.
They say the company settles with him out of court, usually for at least $10,000.
Cool.
So let's talk to this guy. He's got some book coming out, right? Isn't
that an e-book?
An e-book?
Yeah, you downloaded it as well.
I know that. That's just
that way you don't have
pathetic.
That's not handy.
The e-book.
I bet he's making money on it.
Yeah, I bet so. So you know he's going to be on the air?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sure. Might want to make sure.
Yeah, we're doing to buy
something. I'm not selling anything.
Okay, let's talk to Ryan.
This is Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan, see there. Hi, Ryan. It's Don and Mike. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thank you.
So you live outside Minneapolis, St. Paul, right?
Yes, I do.
And we were fascinated by your story. You don't do anything. You're a dropout, right?
Well, yes, I am a dropout. But in the context of doing nothing, I actually do a lot of stuff. But insofar as contributing to society, going to work,
right? You do nothing.
Any of that? No.
You do nothing. Okay.
Good for you. And so is your sole income? Is your income generated almost completely by suing these telemarketers?
Yes, it's generated off the lawsuit settlements as well as the judgments I ascertain in court.
Now, hasn't there ever been a lawyer that you've come up against who has said, dude, I went back through the records, and I've noticed that this is like your 10th lawsuit this month.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's ever said to you?
That's happened, but the fact of the matter is, and I wanted to identify to the audience, that what I do is completely legal. I, as a consumer, can test companies on whether or not they're going to comply with my rights,
right,
which if a telemarketer calls me, they must comply with certain provisions of the TCPA, Telephone Consumer Protection.
Yeah, and I mean, the bottom line is you go on record and you file the tape recordings of saying, do not call me again, and then they call you again. So it's on them, isn't it?
What's all on them?
What's the big, can you tell us the names of any of these companies? Would we recognize any of the companies that you've fleeced?
Well, I cannot name them specifically based upon our confidentiality agreement. However,
because every settlement you have has a confidentiality agreement.
Exactly.
Right.
It's a huge leverage insofar as the settlement amount, because of the fact that if there isn't confidentiality, they're going to say, well, we don't feel like settling. So if you include that, they'll want to settle for a good dollar amount.
Okay.
However, I can tell you that I've dealt with major corporations. They're high-profile attorneys and executives, all the way to small mom-and-pop shops.
Do you do your own legal work, or do you have guys that do it for you?
I do it all myself.
Wow.
How many phone lines do you have right now in your house, Ryan?
Currently, I have 8 telephone lines.
And how many contests are you currently entered in? Do you have any idea?
Well, actually, I'm not currently, you know, on a daily routine entering contests. These are contests, you know, let's say from 6 months ago, in which I entered both online as well as in the mall or any type of mailings, and that information gets farmed or filtered, if you will, out to the various telemarketing firms, et cetera, who say, yeah, he signed up for a vacation package. Maybe he's interested in ours in Florida, whatever the case is.
And they don't have the kind of software yet where they could flag you, do
they? I was going to say, how come they just don't put this guy's name in and right, say, you know, whoa, don't call this guy?
Well, believe me, it's not that simple. But the fact of the matter is, I, for one, can hide behind my telephone lines, et cetera. However, I want to make public my occupation and tell people how they, too, can fight back, even if they don't want to file a lawsuit.
I would be curious, have you ever gone to the well twice on the same company?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. So they go through the legal process, they settle out of court, and then it happens all over again.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, I've actually outlasted the attorneys who represented me. Which is great for me, because the new attorney
has
no clue of what I've done in the past for the company, and he's not up to speed with it, so I'm able to go into that lawsuit fresh, and then they don't have any defense to it.
Do you have a specific number that you file the lawsuit for every time this happens?
Oh, well, no, it all depends on the violations incurred during the phone call.
Tell me how this goes, though, that you see, you're sitting around waiting for calls, like you're waiting, like I guess you do most times. You see the caller ID. You know that it's telemarketer. You pick it up. You don't know who it is. They say, hey, we're from, you know, O'Mara's.
Mm-hmm.
And right away, you know, hey, hold on. This is a second call.
Exactly.
Do you get a rush? Do the hairs on the back of your neck stand up? Do you start seeing dollar signs? I mean, how fast? Do you let them give you any spiel at all, or do you just say, hey, listen, ass, I'm on your list, call my attorney?
No, actually, it details that all in my book, and you can find that at lawsuitchaser.com. But explaining this in short, a telemarketing company must properly identify themselves. They must actually provide a do not call policy, which is a written set of laws that they have to govern themselves in order to make the do not call request. So it's more or less just a set of policies and procedures that every consumer can request. And if the company fails to provide it, it's a violation of the law.
What is usually the turnaround time from, say, entering a contest to the time where you can get $10,000 out of a...
It all depends, but for the most part, if it's something local, or what happens is they look at the demographic and find out, okay, he entered a vacation. We're going to sell 10 different vacation lists to... it's a long, tedious process. However, it could take days up to months to get the information, filtered out. Now, mind you, I don't even have to supply my information. They're just going to call the number regardless, because what they have is called a predictive dialer. It automatically just generates and dials numbers randomly. Whether or not you're on the do not call list or not, it'll keep on doing that.
Well,
the company has to actually put the correct software in there.
And a lot of them do it with the recordings, right?
Exactly, and that's an automatic violation.
Now listen, hold on. Yeah, that was going to be my question to you, that if you pick up the phone and it's, hi, this is Hillary Clinton, I'm running for Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you call then if it's a tape?
Well, if it's Hillary Clinton or any other government...
I use that as an example, because that's one that I received a couple of months ago.
Nonprofits are exempt as well as...
All right, let's just say it's Exxon calling. Hi, it's Tony the Tiger or whatever, for Exxon. Mm-hmm. And you know it's a tape right away. How do you nail them on that?
Well, that's a violation of 47 U.S.C. 227b1b, in the late term, a violation of the pre-recorded message statutes, which identifies that a company may not send out any illegal pre-recorded messages.
Hold on. I've got to tell you something.
Yeah.
There's a new thing that's happening in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, our company, I don't think, has done it yet, but I know Z100 has done it in New York, and I know that they're doing it at Q107, where they have automated phone calls from disc jockeys. You pick up the phone and it goes, hey, this is Elvis Bojo from Z100.
Right.
Tomorrow morning we're going to be... Now, could you nail a radio station just like you could nail anybody else?
Yeah, you have to define the phone call as a solicitation. So, in fact, if they are saying, yes, this is whoever it is from this station, they are, in fact, soliciting their service, which is obviously a radio, et cetera. So,
you know what? I'm going to have to call Q107, because I swear to God I got one of those calls at home with the thing going, hi, this is Jack Diamond. Have you heard the new music? And I just laughed about it and hung up.
Ryan, how often do you have to change your phone numbers?
Actually, I don't change them. I keep them. And, I could change them if I wanted to, but...
No, but like you said, Mike, the software...
They don't flag the guys. I would think they flag the name, but
numbers.
Not the phone number. So,
I shouldn't say that they don't do that, but the fact of the matter is, there's thousands, if not tens of thousands of telemarketing companies. The ones I deal with aren't able to communicate to all of them and say, okay, put him on your do not call database list immediately so you don't call him, so you don't come into this situation.
Cool.
They can't communicate with each other that effectively, so I'm not worried about that. But furthermore, I've actually decided once again to make public my occupation to now help the consumer fight back, to learn how to fight back and the laws that protect them, as well as to teach the industries that they have to comply with the law.
I think anybody that sat down to dinner at 6 o'clock and gets one of those calls, and they're difficult because a lot of the times they say out of area. So you pick it up just on a whim, and you realize it's somebody doing this. There's nothing more maddening.
All right, beautiful. Listen, Ryan, your website is lawsuitchaser.com. We'll have a link on our website. How much less
if you
know.
Don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind.
Thank you, Mike. How much did you make last year, if you don't mind?
Yeah, last year about $100,000.
$100,000.
Yep.
All right, cool. Thank you, my friend.
That's great. Good luck to
Thanks
you.
For your time. Take care, guys.
See you later.
Hey, Ryan, is this year stacking up financially?
I'm sorry?
Are you keeping up this year, how you did last year?
Actually, it kind of dwindled down a little bit since I actually came out of the closet, so to speak.
Right.
And I guess in one sense, yeah, you could say it's dwindled down somewhat, but... My main focus is actually to branch out into consulting for the industry and consumers.
But even though you've written a book now, they still don't have all the software to keep you off the list.
Oh no. I filed two cases today. I had CBS Evening News come over today, and they're going to be doing a story on me in June, and they documented the cases, et cetera, and the conduct committed by the telemarketers, and I went to the courthouse today and filed two lawsuits. So.
The reason that CBS News is having you on, is that part of a settlement?
There you go.
They're doing it at their own free will.
Okay.
All right, Ryan. We'll see you later, dude.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's neat. That is neat. You know, and but when it goes national, of course, they're probably. But it sounds to me like maybe they're not. They're cheap, so they're not going to make the effort. Right?
What a great way to make money by doing nothing. You just enter contests, wait for them to call, say, "Don't call me back,"
right,
and then wait for them to call you back.
And technically, he is doing something. I mean, you know, he's doing all the legal work.
Full time job.
I'm sure it's a full time job. That's hysterical.
$100,000. Okay, that's Ryan Swanberg. Everybody.
Way to go, Ryan.
Ryan Swanberg. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quick plug, Ola. I'm Mike LaFontaine, owner and founder of High Class Management. Whoops. Comics Constant Companion. Let's start right out. Hey, what happened? As you know, back in 1970, I started on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened? We had a lot of fun with that and a lot of other catchphrases. I got a real red wagon. And I can't do my work. And I believe I was the first one to use the phrase, I don't think so. But it only lasted a year, and that's good because that's how you establish a cult.
The Don and Mike Show. The Shameful Joy Boys, Don and Mike.
Right, right. You know, I did not receive a response from Shotgun Mark Rivers, the disc jockey in Wichita. I think he's in Wichita. I worked with him a long time ago. The guy who could back me up on the story about having sex with a midget.
Yes.
In Rockford, Illinois.
Uh-huh.
But at DonandMikeWebsite.com, I did get a note from the disco dentist.
Okay.
Chuck Crane. I've mentioned his name before. He's a guy I worked with in Indianapolis.
Right.
And he reminded me of something that we did, and if I've told this story before, stop me.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with sex or groupies, but it's maybe the greatest thing that we ever did. He wrote this note. I've not talked to the guy in like 10 years. And he writes, oh, I found about the show on the website, listens to the clips, real good, saw something about, in the recap, wanted Shotgun Mark to call him. And he writes, do you remember the time we went to Wife? Now, when I worked in Indianapolis, this is 1979.